This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
It's been a great start to the NFL season, and it's only getting better at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. DraftKings is kicking off another week of action by giving new customers a can't-miss offer. Just bet $1 on any football game this week and receive $150 in free bets instantly. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps to receive $150 in free bets instantly when you place a $1 bet on any football game. That's promo code FANRUN in all caps. This week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older, Tennessee only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line. 1-800-889-9789.
We kick off hour number two. It's a Tuesday edition of the program. All right, let's talk quarterbacks, Houston. Like, what is going on? I mean, Joe Milton looked fine when he came into the game.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think these guys were actually pretty close in the competition when they awarded Joe Milton the starting job to start the season? But, you know, Heupel's not a big switch them back and forth guy, which I'm okay with. I like that. Mm-hmm. I don't like the, yeah, we're going to give this guy two series and then give this guy two series. Because sometimes, you know, one guy does well and then you take him out, or one guy does okay and then it's hard to tell. You know, it just makes it. So maybe Joe Milton barely beat out Hendon Hooker to start the year. They didn't announce the starter until the week of the game, right? Like, it was like right before, wasn't it? Like the Monday or Tuesday before the Thursday game? Whenever the depth chart came out?
That's, yeah. Monday. Oh, was it Wednesday? Was it ball calls? Or did, I mean, everyone kind of knew it was going to be Milton, but yeah, I can't actually remember exactly when they announced it.
So then, if we assume that, which is, I guess, kind of best case scenario, going into the Florida game, they're like, well, Milton, I mean, it's an ankle, right? We finally established through, you know, all the secret, you know, the little birds and everything, that it was an ankle. So I guess
did we?
Yeah. Yeah, we did.
Okay.
I
trust you.
I guess if that's the case, then they basically say, well, if Milton's ankle, if he can't run full speed the way he normally does, maybe it was impacting his ability to step into throws or plant or either one.
He did have a first down run, did he not?
I don't.
A little scramble?
Did he?
I thought he did.
Can't remember.
He slid.
Okay.
Or he got down, I guess is the best way to put it.
I mean, that's got to mean they're pretty close, though, right? I mean, like, he looked fine. It wasn't like he was out there limping around Byron Leftwich style, you know. Like, oh, like, man, this guy is obviously super beat up. So I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. I mean, I just need whatever level, whichever one I'm plays, to be better.
Right.
But I don't know, man. It's an unfair expectation.
Well, it was weird for the Florida game. And maybe it was because he didn't get the reps in practice and they just felt more comfortable with Hooker running more of what they wanted to. Because we saw some plays we hadn't seen before. You know, we ran some screens that we hadn't run. And I don't know if those were installed before the season, or if they installed him this week, and that was, you know, hey, Hooker ran these screens, we feel good about that, so we're going to give him the start. Milton's healthy enough to play, but he didn't get the rep, so we have to call kind of some older stuff if he gets in the game. And at the point in which he came in the game was kind of over. Mm-hmm. So you didn't have any, you know, top secret plays you were trying to run. But this week's kind of interesting. I mean, I'm assuming if Milton was healthy enough to play against Florida, he's healthy enough to get all the reps this week in practice. I don't know what Hooker's exact status is, other than, you know, very questionable, according to Austin Price. I think that's fair. Do we know what that was? Because Heupel also said yesterday he's not in concussion protocol.
Then what is it?
I don't know. I mean, was it a neck? The way he got hit, it was... It was weird.
Did he strain oblique? Is this the kind of got bent,
I don't know.
Bent funny?
He stayed. Did he stand up and then go right back down? He did, didn't he?
Yeah. He kind of went down all fours.
So, I don't know. That's a little strange, but I'm trying to find the benefit of the doubt here for Heupel. If Milton couldn't practice fully and go through all the reps and stuff, I guess it makes sense. You know, Hooker had started the game before, played pretty well, so he got the nod in Gainesville. Now, if he can't practice this week and Milton can and be all in and all out there, then I think it makes sense that he'd be the starter for Missouri. The question for me is, who's the backup against Missouri? Can it be Hooker? Is he going to be back in time to make that trip, or is it Bailey? And I know, you know, Heupel doesn't want to talk about hypotheticals here, but I don't know. It's just it's a little strange. It's a little different. And if it's let's say Hooker does not make the trip.
Okay.
Everyone's been talking about how long is the leash or how short is the leash for Joe Milton. If he goes out there against Missouri and just doesn't have it early, I mean, he's zipping them all over the place to anywhere but, you know, somebody in a white jersey, I would imagine the leash is a lot longer before you go to Harrison Bailey than it would be if Hooker was right there ready to go. So my guess is at this point, prepare thyself for Joe Milton to start and play regardless of how bad it may get.
Ooh.
I'm hoping it doesn't get bad because, again, we should be able to run the football. Sucks, their defense is not good. They're better against the pass, but I think that has a lot to do with the fact that they're so bad against the run that teams don't feel like they need to pass it as much. So I would expect Joe Milton, which is fine. I mean, Joe Milton can, assuming the ankle's good, he can obviously run around a little bit. He's not quite as dynamic as Hooker, but he's got ample speed. I'm assuming Tyon Evans is going to be good to go. I think the only thing that happened to him, he got up a little gimpy one time, and then he got hit in the crotch,
right,
which would, you know, that's no fun if you've been there.
No fun.
Jabari Small, did he get re-injured? Did he re-injure the shoulder? Somebody said that? Or is he good?
I don't know.
I'm just saying, it feels like you got running backs. Jalen Wright, I don't even know, did he log a snap against Florida? I don't think so.
No.
And he got some burn against Pitt. So I think you're good at running back. Offensive line obviously is going to be troublesome if Cooper can't go. And even if he could give it a run this week, I'd probably be tempted to rest him just because Missouri's defensive line and front seven in general is so bad. I think you could probably keep the run schemes fairly simple this week. They're coming off a tough loss on the road at Boston College. Noon game, they're not going to be as into it. Crowd's not going to be as into it. So I'm not risking Cooper this week. If he can get back for South Carolina, great. I might rest him through that one too and see if you can't get him ready to go for Ole Miss. But this would be a good week for Tennessee to find themselves offensively.
Yeah.
This is a much easier challenge than what they faced on Saturday. Not as deep, not as talented, not as fast. I think one of the reasons people were so frustrated about that Florida game too, this Florida team is very good, but it's not your typical Florida team with, oh, you got to, you know, even last year, you got to watch out for Pitts and Kyle Trask is really good. They don't have a dynamic running back. They've got a running back by committee and it's solid. Their offensive line is good. I don't think they're all world. They don't have that Percy Harvin receive. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're just kind of a bunch of really good players without a bunch of star power. Emory Jones looked pretty good, obviously. So I think that's one of the reasons it felt a little, man, we can win this. They don't have anything that just scares you, but they're just so solid as a team. Defensively, it's the same thing.
You feel like a really good, damn old Mississippi State team.
Yeah. Like, I don't know any of these guys. Don't know their names. But they're just solid. They're just good players. Now, Bama, it's a little different. You're like, oh, gosh, Bryce Young and that running back and all these receivers. Florida just doesn't have that appeal, sex appeal, if you will. I think that's one of the reasons it felt a little weird. But I'd say probably the same thing about Missouri. They got Tyler Beatty. But as long as the quarterbacks can't run, I feel pretty good against us against a rushing attack.
Well, we'd love to get your reaction on this. Give us a shout, 865-546-8200 on the G3 Help Me Hotlines. We'll come back. We'll go right to the phone lines. Hang tight if you're there. Stick with us right here on 3 and Out. Welcome back into the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. Fan Run Radio. Pick up some White Claw Hard Seltzer this week. 5% alcohol by volume, just 1 gram of sugar, and only 100 calories. It's White Claw Hard Seltzer, proud sponsors of the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios right here. Fan Run Radio, appreciate you listening. And for all your info, get some of your Twitter reaction here in a bit. First, back to the G3 Help Me Hotlines. We got Philly up next. Trying to talk about this quarterback situation a little bit, but, you know, take it wherever you want. Philly, what's up, buddy?
Good morning, gentlemen.
Morning. You can hear the pep in the step of old Philly as basketball practice starts today.
Well, at least we'll have talent. We'll probably choke like we always do, but at least there won't be, a roster devoid of talent like the football program is.
Mm. Oh, there it is. Yeah, optimism Tuesday. That's great.
What do you think?
They got talent. Hey, I've been catching your little drops on the drive, so they seem to like Tomba?
Yeah.
Great.
I heard it from an assistant coach's mouth from a friend. They like him. And I mean, it's not going to happen overnight, but they like his potential. He just needs to get stronger.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. By they like him, I mean, that's kind of what his deal was, right? He was a potential prospect. Are they thinking he can get some meaningful time this year, or still thinking – because I know you were a big proponent of him getting a red shirt and kind of getting ready and getting bigger and stronger.
Well, all honestly, though, you look at their in their post play outside of Fulkerson, who gets beat up like a rag doll every year, and then you got Hatfield, who's a pretty physically adapted person. Who else is going to play post?
They like a do for the post, surely, right?
Well, there's one of these young guys. I mean,
yeah.
But Tomba can defend the rim. He actually played better against good competition than when he played inferior competition. He didn't play it well.
Well, if you remember when Barnes was at Texas, I mean, I remember that year, Pearl went down there in year one. He had two 7-footers on the floor? And that's what they did. You know, they ran the floor, they protected the rim, they set those dummy screens up top. But mostly it was, hey, if our guards get beat and they attack the rim, it's your job to alter the shot or, you know, send it into the third row.
Well, let's talk a little bit about Danny White. Yesterday I got WL tore up, and he actually said that that coach at A&M was an elite coach, which is the most hilarious thing I ever heard of. Just because you win a national championship don't mean you're an elite coach.
I think that's fair. Doesn't make you elite, but it proves at least you got the right talent in at the right time and put a system together that they could win it all.
And what is the drive? What are they trying to do? Just carry water for Danny White? What's going on?
What's your big issue with Danny White right now? Is it the ticket thing? Is it the Army game? A little
He's
bit of everything.
Punk.
He's a what?
He's a Northern punk.
He's got a little, I don't know if ego is the right word. He's got a persona, right? He's got a personality.
Ego's the right word.
Ego, okay.
Well,
Nate said it, not me.
Big if you're going to do that. If you're going to be like Doug Dickey, you better win big. He's not Doug Dickey. I didn't like Doug Dickey, but Doug Dickey did a good job except for one sport.
Yeah, I mean, Doug Dickey was football.
Yeah, but he had a better all-around sports program. That's when Tennessee it was at their best in all sports combined. The track program was great. The swimming program was good. I mean, you know, everything was pretty good except men's basketball.
Yeah.
But I don't know, guys. I'm just at loss of words. This Hopple hire, I'm going to warn about it. Got to give the guy 3 years, though. See what he can do. But if you just keep having penalties every game and you don't see any correction in it, I mean, when we get more talent, are we still going to have penalties?
That's a fear.
It's a good question.
Can we get more talent? I think that's the big question.
Well,
Well, yeah, that is a good question.
I've said this a thousand times. I wish there was a log of not only, hey, 10 penalties for whatever yard. I want to know what the penalties are. Because it felt like you didn't have a hold on offense. You had a couple on special teams, I think. Did we have a false start? Maybe one?
Somebody said we had back-to-back false starts. No, we had that delay
back-to-back
again.
Okay.
Different drive.
Some personal foul penalties are mind-blowing, too, I mean.
Yeah, but the Jeremy Banks face mask penalty, if it had been anybody else, I think you say, well, sometimes that happens. The Jimmy Holiday thing, that was a weird one. And then what was the other one on that play? They called it on 18?
Unnecessary roughness.
Yeah, we didn't get to see what it was, but it was...
I tried to find that.
On number 18. Did we figure out who 18 is? I still haven't even looked that up.
Isn't that that guy, the transfer from Michigan, that number 18? Is that who that is?
Is that Mohan?
I thought that's who it is, but I'm not going to swear to it.
Yeah, it is. William Mohan. Redshirt freshman linebacker. Transfer from Michigan. I didn't see the penalty. I mean, I saw the targeting and the kick-catch interference.
Well, guys, the season, this game will determine Tennessee's season this Saturday. You blew it against Pitt. You got a chance to make up for it by beating a team that's just about probably has as much talent. Tennessee might actually have more talent than them.
By the book, they have a lot more talent. If you go by talent rankings, Tennessee has a lot more.
Well, I mean, we went to Missouri 2 years ago and won, didn't we?
Yes. Garantano had his best game ever, over 400 yards passing in that one.
He beat him last year.
You
need to win this game.
Well, and last year, go ahead.
Yeah,
absolutely. And if Missouri's problems that they had against Tennessee last year are the problems they have right now. I don't remember what Tennessee ran for in that game, but it was a ton. I think JG had 3 touchdowns on the ground. I mean, they were quarterback sneaks, but you ran the ball up and down the field, kind of exposed them. They switched quarterbacks, and Bazelak got a little something going, as he tends to do, but their defense may actually be worse this year. So I don't think the road atmosphere is going to be right. I mean, I don't think Missouri fans are
not after going to the Swamp.
You'll be fine.
So, well, I do agree with playing noon kickoff all to favor Tennessee.
I would think so, and especially I realize it's just an hour, but that's 11 a.m. local for Missouri. I mean, they're going to be getting up, you know, for them super early. I doubt the crowd's going to be very into it. You know, if Tennessee can go in and punch him in the mouth early, Roberto said he thinks Tennessee could dog walk him. I kind of do, too. I think you got an opportunity to make a little bit of a statement this week.
I don't think we're good enough to dog walk anybody.
I just think they're bad enough, Philly.
Well,
I mean, don't get me wrong. We got to, you know, hit the passes that are open and catch them.
We got a lot of depth problems. When you get one injury on an offensive line, it just puts it for a loop.
Mm-hmm.
One more thing, is Davey going to be on after the game Saturday?
Yes.
That's an affirmative.
Is he going to be one of them long alcohol-induced shows?
I really don't know, Philly. I just kind of wake up and it goes with how I'm feeling.
Huh. Well, this Duke basketball recruiting's going pretty good. See?
Yeah, that's a good point.
He's got the Blue Devil shirt on today, Philly. Mm-hmm. Practice starts all over the country.
Since John Shire's taken over as the head.
Coach.
I'm finishing one statement. It's one sentence. God. Since he's taken over,
you've already made this statement.
Not
before.
On air, just to you, and it made you mad, but Shire's averaging a 5-star every 28 days.
Great for him. That's great.
Missouri has no 5-stars. They're 45th in the team talent rankings.
Tennessee is
19th. Missouri has 9 4-star players.
9. How many do we have?
9.
How many do we have?
Missouri. Tennessee has
4 and 5 stars combined.
28.
27. Aubrey Solomon's not playing.
No, you can't do that. You just have to take the numbers.
Okay. It is.
Because the other teams are.
He might actually play this weekend. He didn't register a snap against Florida, did he?
I don't know.
Okay.
I didn't look at the participation numbers, come to think of it.
What are you thinking right now, Crest? Double-digit win for the Vols?
Sounds good.
I'll take a single-digit game again if you want to do our standard bet.
That's the only reason he did that.
Oh, yeah.
Trying to set you up for the bet.
I know.
We're currently even on the year. No one's got the upper hand.
No doll hairs have traded hands.
Well, they have, just evenly.
Okay.
$1. Vols by 10 or more.
Does he get Missouri by 10 or more also?
Yeah, you did say double-digit game. So do I get the like the 20-point swing there?
Sure.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Missouri's up 9 late. Line up for a field goal. Crest is on the edge of his seat. Got to get this cover. I kind of gave a little when the Florida running back fell in the end zone because I had a few of those bets at 19.5. And the Tennessee fans at the party I was at, like, you've been cheering for Tennessee, you know, the whole first half. Like, what happened? I was like, well, I either want Tennessee to do well or, I mean, once it was over, it's over. Like, So that would be kind of you this weekend.
I've got some bad news.
What's up?
The odd shark.
That thing is always wrong.
Well, then this might be good news.
Oh, okay.
Predicted score for Odd Shark for this week's game, Missouri 34.4, Tennessee 23.6.
Oh, no. It's double digits.
I know. That's why I said good news, and then I realized that would actually be bad. Over under 64, this would be the under.
I actually feel very confident in the over on this one.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. Both defenses are trash.
You think Tennessee's defense is trash?
I think we're going to give up 30 points.
There'd have been a better way to put
that. I probably could have said it nicer.
You could have been like Philly and said, like, I think our defense will wear down, and our offense going up and down the field will actually, in a way. I mean, let's say, okay, Optimism Tuesday. Tennessee comes out and just is wearing out Missouri. Mm-hmm. When Tennessee's on offense scoring touchdowns. But because of that, we get what we call in basketball a working margin, and then Missouri is able to kind of catch up a little bit, and then Tennessee pulls away again. That's a really good case for the over.
I watched a little bit of the Boston College game and just kind of the idea I get from Eli Drinkwitz. I really would compare him a lot to Josh Heupel, to where it's like I think they have good game plans offensively, and you see what they're trying to do, but the players just can't execute.
Mm. All right. We'll come back.
That's scary for them in year two.
Stick with us right here. 3 and Out. This segment of the program brought to you by the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Make sure you hop on the same game parlay each and every week with the FanDuel Sportsbook app. All you have to do, set up a same game parlay bet with three legs or more, and if your bet doesn't win, FanDuel will pay you back up to $10. So you can do a $10 same game parlay. Obviously, if you do hit it, it'll pay out pretty well since you got three or more legs. And if it doesn't, you just get your money right back. And, you know, you can set those up anyway. There's tons of different stuff to bet on with FanDuel Sportsbook app. With the NFL especially, you can go over under yardage, you can go anytime touchdown scores, you can go money line, the spread. It's a lot of fun to play along. We love the FanDuel Sportsbook app. You will as well. And we got Tampa, New England this week. Is that right? Sunday night.
Oh, did you not see every commercial that the league ran this week for it?
Choose your promo code 3OUT when you sign up. You can get 30-1 odds on either team to win that game. Got to think Tampa right now. That's promo code 3OUT.
I don't know. They look pretty bad, bro.
OUT, 3OUT when you sign up. That lets them know we sent you. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Refund issued is not withdrawable. Site credit expires in 7 days. Max refund, $10. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Same game parlay available in multiple sports. In all states on mobile web. Gambling problem, call Tennessee Redline, 1-800-889-9789. Back to the G3 Help Me Hotlines we go. We've got DR Vol up next. What's up, buddy? You're on 3 and Out.
Hey, guys. Happy Tuesday. Now, didn't Coach Heupel yesterday say Cooper were out for Saturday?
I don't know if he officially ruled him out. I would be very surprised if he plays, however.
Yeah, that's what I'm getting at. Y'all think we could win by at least 10 with Milton at quarterback?
I don't.
I just think their defense is pretty bad.
Yeah, but, I mean, he can't make that pitch, Coach. Right, I have no faith.
But it's their run defense, DR.
Oh, okay. So just run them to death then.
Yeah, at least that's what I'm. That's what I'm thinking.
That's what I'm hoping.
Yes.
Oh God. Well, what is it with Hooker? Has he got a concussion or something?
Nope, not in concussion protocol.
What does that mean? Like, not in protocol? It's like, no, yeah, he just definitely has a concussion. He's not in the protocol right now, but he'll have to go in it to get out of it. I don't know what that
means. Yeah, he seemed very careful with those words when he said it, didn't he?
Yeah, it was kind of strange. Maybe it wasn't a concussion. Like, the hit was weird. It didn't look like it hit him in the head, though. It looked like it might have tweaked his neck or something.
Funny. It was a back injury.
Spinal. All those Michigan fans are right about Milton. Yep. I feel like we finally survived the JG era, only to get a more athletic JG era.
At least I didn't have to watch him play Saturday. I mean, Hooker didn't remind me of JG. Hooker was his own
dude,
version
yeah.
of himself. And
Hooker, he
didn't lose us
the
game.
He's Dobbs light at this point.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. He was kind of fun to watch at times, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Of course, I have a very, you know what you always say, lower the bar, jump over the
bar. Lower the bar, jump over the bar.
Yeah, that's how I feel about quarterback play at University of Tennessee right now.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't mind seeing us play Washington State, though, Milton versus JG. How do y'all think that would go?
Bowl game.
A lot of defense.
Yeah.
First of three pick sixes win. You know, in fairness, though, DR, Milton has not thrown an interception yet.
Nah, we get arm punt. We'd win that game easy, man, because mm-hmm. we're at least getting the arm punt picks. JG's throwing it to the linebacker.
We did not talk about JG's performance on Saturday. No. I don't know how we missed it yesterday, but that was like Bruce Banner when he becomes the Hulk. He's just a bigger, stronger version of himself.
Right, right.
JG went full Hulk against Utah. Like, he was just super JG. Sacked 7 times and throws a pick 6, I believe, in the fourth quarter as one of his 3 interceptions in the game. There was a Utah ESPN radio host that said, and now you see why Tennessee cut ties with Jarrett Garantano. This is exactly what he does. No creativity, misses open guys, panics, and throws it to the other team going the other way.
25 of 36, 248, 1 touchdown, 3 picks, a QBR of 31.2.
Oof.
The fans are ready to roll Rolovich.
Really?
Yeah. They said, I mean, basically he's destroyed everything it took Mike Leach 8 years to build.
He should have got JG.
JG was on brand, though, guys. He had the interceptions, and his completion percentage is going to be up there. And the Pazakugs out there, you know, they were defending him, saying he's a tough kid. You know, we have seen that before, haven't we?
He is tough, man. Like, I was eating dinner last night, and someone said the thing about JG is no matter how hard he gets hit, he just gets back up. You know, Hooker gets hit that hard, he's maybe going to miss a week. Milton gets sacked, knee, going to miss a week or two. JG, you couldn't break the guy.
He's like a cockroach.
You like step on him. He's like, I'm fine. Still a cockroach.
He broke his hand and kept playing.
I know, because it was his non-throwing hand.
Warrior.
Mm-hmm. Warrior mentality for our Gladiators and fan base.
The lion.
Yeah, print the shirt. Oh wait, never mind. He already did. Well, guys, you have a good optimism Tuesday.
We're doing our best, DR. Appreciate the phone call, buddy. All good things.
Jarrett Garantano.
What, are you out on Jarrett all of a sudden?
What?
I'm just kidding.
Just watching his highlights here from the game.
How's it going?
He looked good on the first throw.
Oh, yeah?
He does just stare his guys down, man. Even he's completed the first two for first downs. Got him moving down the field.
I mean, you just read his stat line. It really wasn't, you know, wasn't terrible.
Except for the 3 game deciding interceptions. I mean, they were ahead.
Well, yeah, those
against
but...
Utah. Jeez Louise.
Yeah, I blew the lead.
Mm-hmm.
What do you expect? Can't be that surprised.
No. It sounds pretty much just what happens.
Pretty much an amazing performance. I mean, like, sacked 7 times. Did he ever get sacked 7 times here?
I don't think so.
I don't either.
He only had negative 25 rushing yards on 15 carries.
Negative 29?
No, that's a dual threat right there.
I misspoke. He had 15 carries for negative 25 yards. So that means he got sacked 7 for, you know,
No one knows.
Some number. And then he had 8 runs for some positive number to get him back to 25, I guess.
Well, he's a dual threat.
Yeah. Yeah.
I said it. Like, I didn't want him to go to Washington State and look like $1 million, you know?
Yeah.
That would have felt weird.
Uh-huh.
Anytime a quarterback transfer, like, I can only imagine what Ohio State fans felt like as Joe Burrow wins a national championship for LSU. You know, how A&M fans felt when Kyler Murray's winning a Heisman at Oklahoma. When Jalen Hurts goes to Oklahoma and Bama fans are like, man, that guy's pretty good. I wonder if we let the wrong, you know. Florida fans when Cam Newton won it at Auburn. I realized he went to JUCO first, but they were probably like, God, if we could have kept him. I didn't want him to go there and, you know, Heisman numbers. I also don't think I wanted him to go there and throw a losing pick six and 3 interceptions to get sacked 7 times and first game gets sacked for a safety, gets hurt. I definitely didn't want him to get hurt, but it is – I didn't want that. But now that it's happening, it does make you feel a little bit better about, okay, we weren't just wrong on this guy. It should make Jeremy Pruitt feel like a big, dumb idiot. He's our only starter. He gives us the best chance to win. Like, we all saw that was not the case.
Yep.
I'm starting to feel kind of bad for him.
You'd like to see him have a little success.
Because by all accounts, maybe I'm wrong. Like, didn't people like JG? Like, wasn't he a pretty good dude?
I didn't hear anything negative. Obviously,
he get crushed. He get crushed.
He just ran an RPO and threw a slant right to the linebacker.
Let me see it.
Like, he just doesn't. Well,
what coverage is the linebacker?
We stop running RPOs with him?
So top of the screen, he's about to throw the slant to that receiver.
The linebacker that's dropping back.
I mean, he's just gonna throw it right to him.
Do you want to hit play?
Yeah, hit it.
Yeah, I mean, in all honesty, I would like for the kid to have a little bit of success because we know, like, this is his last opportunity to play football.
That wasn't the pick six, was it?
No.
Well, you don't think he's got an NFL career?
That was just a red zone interception on 1st and 10.
I'll only be answering serious questions from here on out.
UT Ski says JG is a dual threat. He's a threat to throw an interception or fumble it on any given play. Batterball tweeted in and said, Joe Milton is 46.5% on his completion percentage this year. We aren't going to win any games with his arm.
No, I mean, he's got to be better. Like, he got one possession against Florida. He got what against Pitt? A quarter?
Quarter and a quarter.
And then you had the weird Bowling Green game where he just there forever.
I do wonder if maybe, right? Roll with me here for a second.
Okay.
JG in a game was better when you would bench him and put him back in. Is Milton getting benched and then getting the job back this week against Missouri, could he come out and look like a completely different quarterback? Like, at this point, the pressure's got to be off if you're Joe Milton, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
We haven't really seen, like you said, we got one drive on the road against a pretty damn good defense. Is it possible that, you know, he was hyped up to be in Neyland for the first game, hyped up because it's Pitt, it's a big game, got to win it. Is it possible on the road at Missouri, it's just, hey, you know what? It's Missouri. Who cares? It's not a big game. It's not a marquee game. It's at noon. We practice in the mornings. We should be rip-roaring and ready to go by noon. We're used to waking up early. Maybe he comes out and plays the game of his young career here at Tennessee. We'll have to see.
Well, if the quarterbacks look bad as a whole, whoever plays this week, I'm gonna be that's gonna be like the biggest red flag yet. If they come out and
I
play really well, then that'll obviously be good. If they're somewhere in the middle, which is probably the most likely thing to happen, then we'll just have to kind of grade with what, you know, how we think.
Yeah, I'll be interested to see what we do offensively. Because I think you want to try to build, whoever starts a quarterback, you want to build some confidence for them. But we also just need to kind of run the football, right? Like, this might be the perfect game for Joe Milton to take those deep shots, back the safeties out, and then just run the football against their front seven because they're not very good. And then if he hits a couple of those deep balls, this game could get away from Missouri in a hurry. And if you don't hit them, maybe you can still back the safeties up and run and win a, you know, grind it out type game. But we'll just have to wait and see. I'll be interested to see what Heupel does to attack this defense, though. We run the ball a lot. We seem to be healthy at running back. Obviously, Cooper being out will hurt, but at least we've got experience with Carvin at center now.
Mm-hmm.
And this defensive line, not as good as P- Pitt, not as certainly not as good as Florida. So maybe even the Spraggins, Ollie Lane, whoever else they put in at guard, yeah. Maybe this is a game they don't go out and get embarrassed.
Final segment, hour number two. Right back at you next. Final segment, hour number two. It's brought to you by Knoxville Smiles. Check them out online at knoxvillesmiles.com and make your appointment. Go see the dentist, doctors Malone or Costa. They'll take great care of you there. Cedar Bluff area, West Knoxville, easy to get to. It's Knoxville Smiles. Make your appointment online at knoxvillesmiles.com.
What'd you think about Philly calling Danny White a punk? A northern punk. Is he northern? Is that even a thing?
No, I don't remember where he's from.
Where's the White family originally?
He's from up there originally, right? Somewhere?
I thought they were all from Florida.
He was born in Arizona. Went to high school.
His dad was at Notre Dame there for a while, I thought.
This isn't the right anyway. Hang on. Sorry.
That's the football player. Yeah. Says he was born in Moorhead, Kentucky.
I guess some people consider Kentucky the North.
That's true.
His administrative career includes, he was at Buffalo there for a minute, and then UCF. But outside of that,
we went to Notre Dame.
At Ohio, Northern Illinois, Fresno State. Ole Miss, kind of been around.
Yeah,
played basketball at Notre Dame. Where's Towson?
Don't remember.
Sorry, don't yet. Yeah. Don't
Maryland
know.
Or Maryland.
Oh, I should have known that. That's on me.
I don't know. It's too early to say Danny White, isn't it?
I think so, but he has he has made a lot of people upset. The ticket thing.
I mean, I have gotten over it because I'm trying to be, positive. There's no point in me just sitting here complaining about it over and over. But, if I'm grading him, the number one is who he picked as his football coach. He picked Josh Heupel. I'm not going to change that at this point. I would have preferred some other options. But, how that plays out is still the final exam for him or the midterm exam, I guess, at least. Because you only get to make if you make two bad football hires at Tennessee, you're probably getting fired as AD, right? If you fail the midterm.
Yeah, yeah.
They might let you take the final.
You're gone.
And then if you pass that, then you're back. Then you're on to the next semester kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But if you fail that too, then you're done here.
Yeah. Out.
If you are kind of average on the first hire, then it just plays out however it does, and then you maybe get another opportunity. Maybe you don't. Just kind of depends on how it goes down and what you're doing with the other stuff. But, I'd have preferred some other options as your head football coach. That didn't happen. He hired Josh Heupel, so we just got to kind of wait and see how that plays out.
Yeah.
What's he supposed to do with the ticket thing? Just let it keep rolling?
Continue. Well, that's the question. Was it so bad that it needed to be redone at all?
Can you redo it for new tickets since you have so many available, but keep the grandfather folks? I don't know. I don't know what the other options.
Well,
it's
just strange, right? I'd like to see a complete rundown of the bottom line here, because if you wanted to make more money, the weirdest part about that, the timing just doesn't make a lot of sense. But, and maybe it's not so much a punishment, but inconveniencing the loyalists of your fan base right now. Those people who, they were grandfathered in and they're getting a good deal, but they're also buying the tickets every year. That's money you're not going to make,
right,
if they're not there. And again, I'm saying this as someone whose ticket prices are going up, a smidge. It's not that big of a deal. But there are some who, pay a lot more for their tickets, who were grandfathered in, who have been loyal through some junk, And it's just strange to do that to anybody who's been loyal now. But I also see why you couldn't just throw out a blanket, you know, hey, 10% increase in ticket prices everywhere. And donations, wherever you are, stay the same. Like, if you do that, it may even look worse.
Yeah. What?
That's why I want to see kind of the bottom line. Like, how much more, and is that what this was about? Was this about, you know, the money? Like, I don't know where we are financially as an athletic department, and more specifically a football program. Now, you're going to have a huge influx of money once these new TV contracts come in.
I mean, he said Neyland Stadium's the number one driver of revenue for the – so, it had to be about money on some level.
Well, sure. I mean, it's always on some level about money. I guess I just wonder, will it end up being worth it?
What I don't understand is if half the people's, you know, season ticket costs came down mm-hmm. and about half went up slightly, not a crazy amount
right,
or whatever,
right?
Then why didn't you just keep the grandfather people's price the same but change it to where they're paying it different? Like, if you're spending $1,000 mm-hmm. and right now it's $1,000 no donation, why not just change it to
500,
600 or 400
yeah.
or whatever the I don't know, and then not lower the season ticket price for new people that aren't even buying it yet anyway? Like, that's a new person they're trying to sell for next year.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you need to lower the price for that person? Because you're not able to sell them, or because
yeah, you're trying to get them in.
Like, what's the
yeah? You're trying to get them in. Hey, we're lowering this price so you can get in. It's not going to cost you as much now. But again, it's weird. I get it. Like, you want new customers, right? But punishing the people who have showed up time after time after time and bought your product is strange to me. And now it's not that big of a punishment. And maybe those people, I don't know. Let's say it's a restaurant, right? And you've got your loyal customer base that comes and says, oh, we need to change the menu and raise the prices just a little bit to accommodate the new menu items because we want to get more people in here. Nothing else is going to change. It's still going to be the same experience, but you're going to be paying a little bit more for it. Some people would say, oh, it's okay. I love this place. I'd like to see them do well. Mm-hmm. You know, I can live through that. And some might say, wait, I've been coming here for all this time. You've got me. You're doing okay with the customers you have now, but you're going to punish me to get new people in? That doesn't make a lot of sense. So I see it both ways. That's why I need to see the financial breakdown. How much sense does this really make on the bottom line for the University of Tennessee, the football program, and Danny White?
Well, and for those people like Matt who've complained about the leadership over there, it's possible the leadership's been so poor in this area that when you look at the map of Tennessee season tickets,
mm-hmm.
there are so many different levels of spending. Like, you're spending $1,000, the guy next to you is spending $950, and the guy next to him is spending $1,050. You're like, how does this make any sense? Why are mm-hmm. we $50 difference with three seats right next to each other? This is like it might have been that it was so jacked up from all the Frankenstein deals cut from all the years that it did just require, okay, that whole section's got to spend $1,100. Sorry for the guy that was at $950. He's just going to have to give us $150 more. Well, or whatever the numbers are. You know, like, we've got to.
In a weird way, yeah, it will kind of unify people. No one's going to be like, I wonder how much they're paying for their. And I'm never doing that. I don't care.
Yeah, who cares?
But maybe some people are like,
I mean, you don't have to buy them. It's not like you're forced to.
You know, like, for example, and I'm not saying I agree with this mindset, but let's say I'm paying a hefty donation, mm-hmm. full price, and I'm in, you know, I'm. Maybe I'm a little hoity-toity, right? And I'm seated next to a guy who doesn't really, we don't vibe. He's not my kind of person. I wonder how did you get those tickets? How are you in this section? Are you paying as much as me? And if so, and again, I don't care. But some people,
who is you?
I'm just saying the map
right.
could have
been. So now it's like, okay, everyone in this section is paying the same. We're all on the same level.
The map
you know.
Could have been so janked up that the only way to fix it was going to raise the price on half the people because it had to lower the price on half the other seats. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you had to pick a number.
Yeah.
But there's no way to know that. You know, it's that's what makes it really hard with grading people, you know, your athletic director and even worse with other more behind the scenes folks is it's not, at least with your head football coach, you can debate. And you can complain and you can go to bat for the challenges they're facing as much as you want. But on Saturday, for an hour on the game clock, 12 times, you get to see, you know, you get to watch them take the test, right?
Yeah.
With these other folks, like, you'll never know. And that's what makes opinions vary, you know, and it just makes it tough. I don't know how to grade that yet. Kind of, you almost just have to give it a little more time and see what happens. And, you know, I mean, Philly said that. You're going to have to give the coach 3 years. I mean, just see what happens. Somebody said, you know, recruiting will be the ultimate decider for Josh Heupel. And, you know, how the administration helps him with all the NCAA stuff or doesn't will impact that. And you'll have to grade on some type of curve and try and be fair with, well, you know, that's a challenge. Well, this sucks. Or, man, still should have got some players here. We just are where we are. I do agree that this week is, you know, one of the most important games on this year's schedule. It's the type of games that decide, you know, whether you, even as you lower the expectations for first-year coach, are you having a successful season? Are we showing signs of improvement for the future? You're being compared to another school that's a second-year coach that doesn't have as much talent as you on the roster, and it's an opportunity, Josh Heupel's favorite word, to...
he does like that word.
To give the fan base something to get excited about, not only just for now, but for the future as well.
You're listening to